Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host here on Coffee Party Radio. How was your week? I trust that you had a wonderful week, in as much as it has been an eventful week as usual. But again, thank you for spending this time with me. So, what are we going to talk about today? You know, last night I had a great time. I went out, you know, my daughter and my wife, they bought some tickets to the rodeos 2 consecutive weeks. And the first, they asked me previously, hey, are you going to come with us to the, we want you to come with us to the rodeo, to Texas, the rodeo, Houston rodeo here in Houston, Texas. And I said, sure. Well, turns out I had to be on a panel, like a panel for the, I represented KPFT on a panel that was discussing the media and the ill effects of what the new media has been doing to the American citizens. So I had a choice to make, rodeo or that panel, and I begged them to allow me to go to the panel instead, and that went very well. I went to the panel. It went fairly well. Last night, I couldn't get out of it. I had to go to the rodeo, and I must say that I had a great time at the rodeo. The only thing was on my mind is I knew this week Bill Maher had a good thing going. He was going to talk about a good little thing, and I wanted to be here to see it live. I didn't, but luckily there's this stuff called a computer can tape or record, and that's what I did. Anyhow, at that rodeo, I had a good time. I tell you, folks, stay away from the fried Oreos. I tried that. The batter on the Oreo wasn't all that good. It was a bit oily. That wasn't good. The fried Snickers, pretty darn good. The funnel cakes, pretty darn good. The fried bacon, thick slab of bacon. Hey, even though I'm supposed to be not eating meat, I went all out last night. I had a good time. But anyhow, let's get down to business. Enough about me having a good time for a change. The subject that I'm going to cover today is called, Is Welfare for the Rich the Same as Welfare for the Poor? And that wasn't the subject that I was going to talk about today. And what is interesting is, it seems every darn week I have a subject at hand that I'm going to be talking about, and something tickles me a bit better that says, you know what, the audience, you guys out there, would probably get a better deal by listening to the topic. So the topic was, is welfare for the rich the same as welfare for the poor? And how did I come about that? Well, it turns out Bill Maher, he had a good one last night. So guess what? That is going to be the blog post of the week for Politics Done Right on Coffee Party. So here's how it goes. The title of that blog was Bill Maher Slams GOP for Support of Welfare for the Rich as They Attack Welfare for the Poor. And you know, a lot of times people say we're tired of hearing the attacks on the rich. We're tired. That is a condition. That is how many of us have been conditioned to believe that some are entitled, others are not. We look down at some that receive so-called meager entitlements while we simply disregard those that are really think or those that really believe they are the ones that are entitled. So here it goes. Bill Maher tackled the inheritance tax and its implication in a rather demonstrative fashion. One can honestly have a liberal, conservative, or some other ideology and be intellectually honest. Because one does not want to live within the tenets of a specific ideology does not make that particular ideology wrong. Let me pause from the blog. Remember, ideology as a tenet is okay. meaning let's say you want small government. Is that wrong or right? No, it's neither wrong nor right. It is whether the people want to live within a society that has all the implications of having a small government. Maybe they do. Maybe they want a government that has no control over corporations that can screw things up for society with no penalties. Maybe they want that. But they must, if they want that, they must know that that's the fact and live within the tenets, and not only do so, but realize what it all means. Unfortunately, within our society, we never do that. Anyhow, what is wrong, continuing, what is wrong is the disproportionate application of the tenets based on the socioeconomic power of the governed. And I want to cover that sentence when we get into further discussion, because that is the issue. What is wrong is the disproportionate application of the tenets based on the socioeconomic power of the governed. Someone has to explain to me why Republicans believe that not working and getting free money like the takers is worse, most corrupting thing that is the worst, most corrupting thing that could ever happen to a person if you are rich, Bill Maher said. The very first thing our new Republican Congress tried to do, rid of any tax on inherited wealth, which they called the death tax. Bill Maher then pointed out that the estate tax used to be pretty high until George W. Bush got it virtually repealed. Bill says, I wonder where he got the idea to reward dumbasses who leech off their dad's success. You wonder where he got that from. Well, isn't that what the Bush boys did? What accomplishments they've attained was based on a name. The name of the father, the name of the grandfather. We all know that story. Bill then went to the core of the GOP's supposed conservative tenet. It is true that there is one thing that really chaps the conservative ass. It's the idea of people getting money para nada, for nothing, para nada, for nothing. He then read a statement from Paul Ryan where Ryan said that we have a culture of men not working or the value that comes with working. Really? Bill Maher then highlighted two rich kids that are representative of a sect who received unearned money, call it rich welfare, without any real work ethic. He showed Conrad Hilton's and Donald Trump's disdain for the peasants that make up the majority of our society. I didn't put all the things that he said in there, but it turns out this little rich kid, and I put a link to what this guy did. He created a havoc on an airline, on a flight coming in from England or from UK, I believe it was, where he actually attempted to beat up the flight attendant. He started to claim that they were peasants. He tried to smoke dope while disabling the smoke detector in the lavatory. Come on. He also went on to show some other rich kids who wrecked their cars and still were found texting in the car. He just showed the type of things these rich kids have been going through with all the free stuff that they get based on, or that they got based on, or that they get based on what their parents were able to give them. Republicans are right, Bill Maher said, and this part is a part of Maher's dialogue. Republicans are right, Bill Maher said. Not having to work and getting free money does mess people up. That is why they love to talk about work, the virtue of work, the right to work, workfare, the dignity that comes with work. In fact, there is only one thing conservatives believe in, one in more than work, and that is the God-given right of rich people to leave all their money to their kids so they never have to work a day in their lives. I mean, this is Bill Maher still talking. I mean, think about it. Republicans are on board with taxing people's income, their investments, property, food, gas, booze, cigarettes, everything you buy, even your retirement. Those are not okay. But the one thing that must remain tax-free is when money falls from the sky and lands in the lap of explicative Hiltons. If the tough love of cutting off free money for the poor is the right thing to do, how can we stand by and do any less for the Conrad Hiltons of the word of the world? They've never known the dignity of work either. Shouldn't we be helping them by taxing inheritance at 100%? That's Bill Maher. Now look, continuing with the blog, Bill Maher is exaggerating, but the point is very important. It does not matter if you are rich or poor. To many, when one is the recipient of money or goods without ever having to earn it, that behavior can metastasize within one's psyche as an entitlement, however undeserved. But if anyone doubts that, check out Wall Street bankers and brokers who believe they are deserving of their millions for the billions for the simple task of moving money around while producing no product, while producing no service. Think about it, folks. Welfare for the rich. Lest we forget, after the collapse of 2008, who received the largest piece of welfare ever granted? AIG and many other corporations. Whose dollars were they? The American dollar. I mean, look, that was a perfect time for us to say the system failed. The bankers, you know, the free enterprise, not the free enterprise, two different things. The capitalist system says, hey, we invest, and if you lose it, you lose it. If you invest and you made a bad deal, you're gone. Survival of the fittest. Shouldn't we have just let them cave and let the, instead of making the companies whole, make the hurt constituents who had no fault of these companies losing or these companies crashing, make them whole, not make the corporation whole who then makes the people whole. No middleman needed. It was a perfect time for the government to have done what it needed to do. Make the people whole, not the corporation whole. It otherwise is nothing but welfare for the rich. Folks, do remember this is a call-in show. The telephone number is 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. I would love to hear from you if you want to speak. I see several people on the phone lines. If you want to speak, press 1 so that I can know that you actually are not just listening, but you want to speak. But what do you think? Does it make any sense? Welfare for the rich, isn't that what it is? Think about that. Somebody like Bill Gates, the richest person on the planet, owns over $80 billion. I think if you were to get Bill Gates in the back room, you would wonder, my God, how is a system possible where one can accumulate that amount of wealth? Not for working more than, let's say, the garbage man who also builds houses, but just because of the luck of the draw and what you chose. I mean, I don't have anything against Bill Gates. I love Bill Gates, and not only that, I love the responsibility that Bill Gates feels towards making, putting that money back into society. But we shouldn't have a system that depends on the benevolence of a few to make, to keep the system solvent. Bill Gates knows the system will fall apart absent what he is doing with his 80-something billion dollars. 936, you're hot. Who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hi, Alberto. This is Bruce.
Can Bruce, you hear me? How you doing, my friend? Yes, I can hear you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I like your topic today. That's very good. I wanted to say that the estate taxes were put in place back in the early 1900s, and it was because that money has been accumulated, the money that's not wages, and so it was not taxed for a long, long time, forever until you die, and it was to recoup some of those taxes that was never collected. Then there was financial advisors out of California that decided that wealth shouldn't be taxed, and they got with the Walton family, who were getting or who had inherited all of their monies, and they financed the campaign to do away with estate taxes. And so Republicans picked that up as being a good thing for the wealthy and have taken it over. There's like 60% of the billionaires now in this country that are getting inherited wealth, not making the wealth. So it's a real big thing tax-wise that we're losing that money. One of their arguments was that it was only bringing in 2.5% of the revenue coming in was through the estate taxes when they started this campaign. Well, that's 2.5% that somebody else has to make up, and it goes or falls to the middle class to make up those funds. That is a significant amount, 2.5%. You know, the corporations back in the 50s, they paid 6% of GDP in corporate taxes. Now they only pay 1.5%, and that's less than the estate taxes were to start with. So if the estate taxes do have a significant role to play in our tax revenue that we have now, the revenue went down to zero for 1 year there, and now it's back up. But people who have under $5 million have no estate taxes at all to play with. So are you still
it
there?
Is ridiculous. Yes, I'm here. I'm here, Bruce. It is completely ridiculous for those people who don't want estate tax. What I don't understand is there's a simple arithmetic, it's simple mathematics that you can use to prove that absent an estate tax eventually, and this, you know, when you go through a normalization curve, you'll immediately see that eventually you'll have a section of a very small amount of people who ultimately will own almost everything. And the reason I say almost is the way mathematics and exponential curve reaches, you never actually reach that total, but you're constantly getting a bigger piece of the pie each time. You never get all of the pie, but you damn near get close to it, 99.9999, and it keeps going down. It's a mathematical certainty, and that's why a lot of people actually know that capitalism in the form as we practice it in the United States is not sustainable. We had some little dribbles that kind of corrected a few things, and as much as we bailed AIG and Bank of America and all these guys out a few years ago, what that did for a period of time is that pushed the curve back a bit before that totality, before all these small groups took over a total of the wealth. But if you take a look at it, just think about what the Oxfam report came out recently that stated that I think it was 1%, and you can correct me here. I know you saw that Oxfam report Bruce. I think it was 1% of the people, or I don't remember how many people would have owned over 50% of the world. I don't. Oxen.
Yes, there's 1,875,000 billionaires in the world, and they have more money than all the, or over 50% of the wealth of the world.
Right.
Sorry.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is some ridiculous number like that. And, you know, so these are things we have to mitigate. But hold tight. I'm keeping you hot. Bruce, let me get to 732. 732, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Oh, hey, Egberto. This is John from Jersey. How you been?
John from Jersey. I haven't heard from you in a long time, but I see that you've been sure keeping those Obamacare pages going very hot, very well. I think you should be commended on what you're doing out there.
Thank you. Thank you much. I just saw a thing this morning on Hillary and the emails and all that. Congress doesn't have to do the same. You know, the Washington Post and others
right.
are saying that, yeah, I don't know if you've seen anything on that yet. But
yes, actually, yeah, let me tell you what I saw on that, John. What I saw was on this morning on what's his name's show earlier before Melissa Harris Perry, the show before that one, they came on and stated that wow, all these people have to show up their emails and Congress does not. I think that needs to be mitigated. But I tell you something else. You know, I'm not a very big Hillary supporter, but I tell you one thing: if she's the only Democrat running, from a personal perspective, she will have my vote. Now, I'm actually getting rather upset at Democrats for two reasons. One, for not fielding a group of candidates that create a vibrant discussion as to where we want this country to go. We'll cover these issues that we're talking about today when we're talking about income inequality, when we're talking about welfare for the rich versus welfare for the poor. All those issues need to be debated, and Hillary needs to be within that debate so that if she wins, she does not believe that she is winning by winning from votes from the corporatocracy, but votes from what we call in Panama el Pueblo, votes from the people who really want actions. We don't have that debate that is going to be taking place so far. Now,
so you're not big on her. You're not big on her.
I am not big on her, but I tell you, go ahead.
You're more maybe for Biden coming in or someone like Elizabeth Warren or someone like that, right?
I tell you something that happened to me, John. I was on a panel, a Daily Coast panel, a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about that because a lot of the folks at Daily Coast, they're not enamored with her, and a lot of them have been enamored with Elizabeth Warren. And Vélez, Elizabeth Vélez told me something. She said, Egberto, listen to me. We love what Elizabeth Warren's position on income inequality. We love her position on wealth disparity. We love her position on things like school loans and making it more affordable for folks to go to school. But what else do we know? We do not know much. And she said, for those of us, go ahead.
Hey, Berta, I think you might want to do an article on something of this sort. I've seen some other stuff of this sort, and you might want to consider it. It's not that this country has a problem generating wealth. It has not a problem with that.
Right.
It has a problem with fusion of wealth. And what does that mean?
Yes.
The tax, right, as you're talking about, the tax codes have gotten so skewed that it's not only are they the wealthy making the money, but they're also getting the tax benefits of which they never got and received 70-something plus years ago. You know, there is the disparity. There's the wrong. And I think, you know, you and others might want to, you know, consider writing more of articles of that sort of thing besides, you know, talking about trickle down and all that garbage of it. Okay. But which is part of this problem is we don't have a problem. We don't have a problem generating wealth in this country. This country has the resources. It has everything in the world necessary. You know, we have the leaders who are smart and intelligent to keep this country economically going even better than most countries. It's truth. But where's the disparity? The disparity and the problem is the distribution, it's the taxation.
I can't disagree with anything that you've said, John. I mean, can I not disagree with you, but I've written that. I'll have to take a cue from you. The mere fact that you're telling me that maybe you haven't seen a whole lot of that coming from some of the writers at Coffee Party, I will go ahead and make sure to try to get more of that out there. You're so correct when you say that the tax system plays a huge part. And one of the biggest parts of that, where the tax system plays, is how it treats income. Why is it that the working man's income, somehow it is valid to tax at a higher rate than capital gains income? Makes no sense whatsoever.
More pointed out to say, hey, look, we're trying to condemn businesses by not upholding trickle down kind of theory. But no, that's not so. So anybody who doesn't uphold that kind of thing is like almost a communist or this or that, whatever. Okay, that's not truth. So we just don't like that kind of policy. Again, it's like to point out very clearly, this country doesn't have a problem generating income. The wealthy have been wealthy. The wealthy have been wealthy 70 plus years ago. They're wealthy now. That the problem is now the tax codes have gotten so skewed.
Well, the tax code are skewed. You're correct that we don't have a problem generating wealth, but we also have to realize it's to some extent it's a bit more than the tax code, right? It's also a program that because, I mean, as an example, one of the benefits that came with something that's dear to you, one of the benefits that come to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, is that now we have almost detached employment from affordable health care. So now somebody like you or anyone else who had some innovative idea can say, I can leave my company with a small savings and start a business because I know I can get affordable health care as I build this business. I am no longer chained to the corporations. Now, we have those who oppose these types of policies without explaining to folks that is the reality. The reality is if we go back to some other system, you're again chained to your employer. You're again chained to whatever ills you may have had before.
And here's the one thing people don't even realize. Okay, so they go on a COBRA coverage. They just accept the COBRA coverage, right? Where therefore, they should just go look at them on the marketplace, see if there's a subsidized thing for them. You got people who are paying $1,000 a month now assuming all the costs between them and their employer and not going to see now that they are out of work, that they are qualified for subsidy or even Medicaid or a CHIP plan.
Right.
There are people who they're not even considering these facts. They're not even considering looking into it.
Well, John, you see, you are doing such a good job. And I, if you notice, I update your pages every so often, the ones that I have access to when I find stories that are matching to what you're doing.
Right.
But we need a lot more of what you are doing. We need a lot more of what you are doing. And we don't only need what you're doing with the pages because you have I think one of your pages has a huge following, and the other statewide pages for the Affordable Care Act are, pretty good coverage. But, what we still need to make sure to do is get that messaging more widely out there. So, I mean, if you notice what I do, if I get something that's relevant, I put it on the page, and I also move that piece of material elsewhere to give it bigger coverage because it is extremely important that people realize these issues. When the president spoke, I have a few issues with the president sometimes, but when the president spoke about the three-legged stool and this being a part of that stool for wealth creation, for income, to solve income inequality, he was absolutely right about that. Because what this is going to do, I mean, we're not talking welfare here. The only people that have a hell of a lot of welfare in this country right now. The people that are getting welfare, the real takers, are not the 47%, are not the 52%. It's the 1%. The
right,
real
the
takers, those... The,
sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's surely. It's the corporate people. And the one thing about thing on the Affordable Care Act, which people are not even realizing, you know, no one even takes it into consideration. Okay, yeah, this is based on conservative principles of, okay, be responsible for yourself. Go get insurance. Don't just, you know, have an issue, then, you know, go to the hospital and then not pay the bill, right? Then who gets screwed? You know, the government and basically insurance companies. The taxpayer and everybody gets screwed. So here it is, this conservative idea originally of be responsible, go get health care, right? What is the other thing that the Affordable Care Act is doing that conservatives should be like, that's the greatest darn thing in the world? But what it's doing, for which bankruptcies, medical bankruptcies are the largest of all the bankruptcies, filings. Now, you've got less and less people going to be able to file medical bankruptcies because, well, you decided not to go get insurance. Well, you know, you had every opportunity with the Affordable Care Act. So now the judges and all them are going to say, and here's a very conservative thing, says, you know, I'm not going to grant you bankruptcy because you just decided not to take any responsibility, even though you had the subsidies, even though you had this and that. And here it's going to provide for greater economical benefits for the country because they're not going to be declaring bankruptcy and they're not going to be burdening on the government for, hey, bail me out or take care of my medical issues. No, you decided now. Personal choosing,
right.
Shows on your tax form. You didn't even decide to choose it. So, yeah, there are some negatives that will happen to people who, oh, here I, you know, checked on 2014, 2015 tax form, didn't want it. I didn't even want it, right? Then I had an issue. Can I do now go declare medical bankruptcy? Probably not in front of a judge.
Right. Now, it's interesting because the topic of the day is welfare for the rich versus welfare for the poor. And when I use those terms loosely, of course, but it was interesting that in this same week, John Stewart, and it's amazing that I'm quoting John Stewart and Bill Maher for news because real news isn't covered by news, the news stations. But another thing that John Stewart brought up was that, as you know, Exxon went into New Jersey and polluted the hell out of a lot of areas. And they were sued by the state, and the state won a $9 billion judgment.
Right, 3% of the 100% that was requested for the judgment.
Right,
Christie,
unbeknownst to everyone else. Right, a $9 billion claim was settled for $225 million. And worse, it gets even worse. And there's a story in The Atlantic by, George Sirota, Sirota that actually covered that story. A good article by David Sirota, who actually covered the article stating that it's likely that he did this as a favor to Exxon, both to extort money out of them for his campaign, and also, again, just to wink, wink, you know I helped you out. But think about that. What he did is he took $225 million, and that $225 million is not going to be, Greg, I know, welfare for the rich comes in a whole lot of form. Yes, forced arbitration as well. Forced arbitration is a form. I'm coming to you in a second, Bruce. Let me just get one thing out here. He's not going to use that $225 million to solve to clean up the mess. He's actually using it to offset holes in his budget. Sadly, the holes in his budget was created specifically by not taxing the wealthy their fair share. Come on in, Bruce. And I think I see 620 on. I'll come to you next as well. Yeah, come on in, Bruce.
Okay. I just wanted to point out that it is, you were talking about the taxing system has made it so unequal in this country. And Warren Buffett had for a couple of years income of $5 billion a year. He paid taxes when he released his income tax forms of $63 million a year. He paid 17% on that, where the average person pays wages and they pay money on the first dollar that they get. And the average now is taken out like 30%. So if you're just out of college, you want to start a business, and you're doing something, the government's taking away 30% of your money right away. So that is not the way to tax. That is totally unequal. But if you tax the wealth, which is the net worth of the country, then the first $1 million could be free to everyone. Everyone does not pay income taxes on the first million. So if you're making wages or something, you will not have to pay those. It allows you to start a business. It allows you to get going. It allows you to develop income-producing property like the wealthy have, and then you will start paying once you are wealthy. So total inequality in our taxing system is causing all of this deductions and welfare for the rich and poor. What we need is to allow people to get out of poverty, to stand on their own, and then they will not have to take as many hand-ups from the country. It'd be totally fair that way. So,
absolutely so.
Okay, the corporations right now are so much more unequal. Like, there's 28 million businesses in this country. There's like 5 billion that are corporate, that pay corporate taxes. 14,000 companies make 75% of all the profit in this country. 14,000, that is the inequality of businesses here. So if you're a contractor, which the whole country is going to the contracting way, we have Uber and all these other things that people have to make their own jobs, and therefore they pay their own taxes. It's like 15% on the payroll taxes. So it is, it's totally unfair to tax people before they can have enough to generate savings and income-producing property that they won't have to pay all their other taxes with.
We have to really acknowledge. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
I want to go back and reiterate again, because maybe for the article and all that kind of thing, or, you know, maybe an additional kind of article, whatever. This country's never had a problem to where we haven't had enough Rockefellers, J.P. Morgans, or even, some of the wealthy business people of today. I mean, we've had them. We'll always have them. And there's never been a problem. So this keeps saying it where, you know, you're pushing down upon business because, you know, you're not going to give the rich or better tax breaks. You know, there's never been a problem with this country with, you know, billionaires and such like that, millionaires. But, you actually, in many ways, of course, you got your Bill Gates and all those others who were able to get loans and stuff such like that in the back in the 70s, 80s, that kind of thing. And instead of just being gobbled up by other people who are wealthy saying, oh, I'm going to buy out that idea quickly. So, you know, if you don't have to where, you know, the banking and a better banking system and a better, you know, thing to where they can just borrow money and then instead of now, you know, they have to, you know, somebody's going to offer them such and such money and buy them out, you know, that's the problem. You know, you can't now be the new Bill Gates of the future because of the way the system, the way the things are. But additionally, yeah, you know, the tax structure, the way it is not conducive to where it puts back money into the middle class, for which the middle class makes the rich too, because if we're spending, we got the money too, and we're spending, you know, then people go in restaurants, the economy churns, you know, so that this whole thing about trickle down has got to be squashed.
Yeah, well, you know, the reality, John, is that, you know, I wrote an article a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks ago, where I stated that the dependent class is really the rich. And what I meant by that was that the rich is not only in the services that they receive from the middle class, not only in the productivity they receive from the middle class, but all their being. You know, I did an experiment, a philosophical experiment, where I said to folks as follows: put the rich man on an island. If you want to see worth, because that is one of the biggest problems we have in this country, acknowledging worth. Put a rich man on an island and the average middle class guy on an island and see who survives the longest. That is how easy it is. But look, I have two calls I have to go to. First, I need to go to, I think this is Jack. Let me see. That looks like Jack's number. So, Jack, how are you doing, Jack?
Okay, fine. I want to make a controversial statement saying that it was a big mistake to bail the banks out back in 2008.
That's not controversial. That's a very accurate statement. That's not controversial, Jack.
That was a big mistake. Now, my name... it means, okay, Jack is Chicago slang for money. And Golding is making money. So my name is Money Making Money. Now that should be less prioritized than should be less prioritized than they should be taxed at a higher rate than ordinary wages. Now I say that starting with carried interest, first of all, that'd be the first thing, should be taxed heavy. I mean, carried interest and all that.
I think that's what you're talking
about. Overseas, that's another thing.
Right, and capital gains. That's what you're trying to say.
The thing is, this overseas money now, PPC or whatever the heck that is a big mistake Obama made. I disagree with Obama on that. Another thing is back in Louisiana or Mississippi, BP is getting away with murder on the paying fishermen off and on that.
Right, Jack, that is what I call the welfare for the rich. But let me get 412 in. 412, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Good afternoon, Egberto. It's Greg Rusak. How are you?
Senor Rusak, talk to me, my friend.
This has been a really interesting conversation, as they always are, and some very important points have been made. And, you know, one of the ones I think I want to just build upon is the notion of what happens when the tax rate goes up progressively with income. And I think this is lost on a lot of people because they maybe just don't have a deep enough understanding, and I'm not an expert, but a deep enough understanding about what motivates investment into businesses by wealthy individuals. And what happens when the tax rate goes up with greater and greater amounts of income is that people will look for ways to shield that income from that taxation. And so back in the day when, you know, tax rates could approach 90%, wealthy individuals would look for ways to invest that additional income into new businesses, into new ventures, and to protect it from being taxed. When the tax rate is so low, there's no motivation to do anything with that money except to sit on it. There's actually no incentive for somebody who has so much money they don't know what to do with it to do anything but just sit on it. And without that investment, and believe, I'm sorry, go ahead, Egberto.
No, the reason why I wanted to break it, because you just made the perfect point. And believe it or not, I can tie that into when I brought in Bill Maher's piece about the wealthy and who's really on welfare and whether what does the work ethic bring, you know? The Republican tenet supposedly is a work ethic, a solid work ethic. And if you dig down to what you just said, Greg, when the tax rates are high enough, you're telling folks that you have to work to keep the wealth. You have to work to keep the wealth. When the tax rates are low, you're telling them, you can sit on your hands and just watch your wealth, because you don't have to circulate it. You don't have to work to ensure that you're holding on to it. So, in effect, that goes right into the work, no work kind of modal. It's another hypocrisy within the GOP on having low tax rates on higher progressive incomes.
It's actually the incentive is really reversed in terms of what the talking points would have us believe, and that is that the only way for the wealthy to trickle down their wealth to the rest of society, which actually they wouldn't have any wealth at all without us, is to somehow keep the tax rates low enough so that I'm not sure exactly what's supposed to happen or what people think will happen if the wealthy are taxed less and less. I'm not sure where it would happen. It doesn't
Look,
seem to.
We,
yes,
we've been there
anybody
before.
Who looks at it
we've
knows
been
it's
there
not
before.
Working.
Look, we were on a path before with progressive taxations and the right type of to prevent a whole lot of wealth accumulation, and we reversed that trend. I mean, we know that we can look at the charts and see that. But not only that, you know, whenever I talk about an aberration within capitalism, that's exactly what I mean. There's an aberration within capitalism that allows, you know, because there's a thing I'm not a Marxist expert or anything like that, but I know there's something within the Marxist theory that talks about excess labor as follows. It means something to the effect of when you work, if you work for somebody else, and you charge, and you are receiving a particular salary income, and that person whose product you made is making a huge amount of money above and beyond what he sells you, what you charge him for your labor. That excess labor is pretty much stolen, right? It's his. He took your excess labor, and he's building wealth on your excess labor. That is what profit is. Now, I don't have a problem with that I don't have a full problem because I can see where profit is an incentive to move forward. But I do believe that we must apply controls. I don't believe in a full system where you cannot have excess labor so that guy can innovate and try to do something else because he sees a value in doing that. I have a problem, however, in the cumulative in accumulation of excess labor so that we have the obscene type of disparities that we have today for folks who really can't produce anything on their own. We are just like commodities for these people.
Absolutely. We are living in still the dark days of libertarianism and conservative economic and social policies. And it's only if you subscribe to objectivism that you can actually even begin to understand or believe that the best way for society to operate is for those who have the most to continue to get the most and have the most advantage, as if somehow if the rich needed to pay more for the benefit that they get from our society, that they would somehow disappear into some sort of, I don't know, it's an absolute juvenile fantasy is what it is. It's a selfish and juvenile fantasy. And we need to call our fellow Americans out on it.
And we're going to do that. Hold on, John, because I want to get 818, and we're running out of time, so I'm going to come to you as soon as 818 get a time to talk.
Hello?
818, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hello? My
yes,
name is Jermaine.
Come on, you're on. What's your name, sir?
Jermaine.
Yes, what would you like to add to the discussion, Jermaine?
I just want to say that my welfare was taken the other day from me. I got five kids. How the hell am I supposed to feed my five kids without welfare? Huh? Huh?
Welfare.
You tell me. You tell me.
Let me. I don't follow. What's your situation? I'm just curious.
I have five kids. I have a shit house. And I don't have my welfare no more. How the hell am I supposed to have my kids? I failed my drug test.
Okay, I understand, sir. I can't answer that particular question, but what's your position? Are you working?
Well,
have you attempted to work?
You're on the radio.
Have you attempted?
You have the answers. Now tell me the answers.
I don't have the answers. I need to know your situation before I can give an answer, sir.
I told you my situation.
Right. That's not what I mean, sir. You know what I'm interested in?
I'm
interested in taking your call?
What do you mean?
I'm interested in taking...
You have the answers. You're on the radio. You're the big man. You tell me.
No, I don't have the answer, sir. What I'm asking from you is, what is your situation? How did you get into the situation that you're in right now?
I didn't do very well in school, right? Black man, living in a shithole school. I went to school, I fell out, and then I got my bitch all knocked up, and now I got these five kids. I don't know where the bitch is at. Right? You know?
What's your name, sir? Sir, Jermaine, let me back up. Jermaine, let me back up, because the situation that you're in, I would actually like to explore that whole thing as a whole show, because the way you refer to that woman as it is already is problematic. So I would love to have a discussion with you at some time where we can see exactly where your head is at. So in the notes here, you drop me a line, and I'll be more than happy to talk to you, my friend, okay?
Nah, man.
Did you hear me?
Nah. You know what? You ain't worth my time. It's fine. Hold my people back and such.
He's not even black. I don't
know. Okay, thank you very much for listening, my friend. Yeah, I really am suspect of that call, but anyhow, very suspect of that call. That seemed like one. Let me tell you. Let me just
the
before
Howard
I go
Stern
to the
thing in New York area.
Right, but here's what's very interesting with calls like these. Right, you have a lot of because of what we are doing. There's a whole lot of think tanks and other guys that put these types of things to create a particular stereotype so that shows like this that are trying to move forward can play into a particular stereotype and let folks disregard the meat of the discussion that we're having here. The reason I want to make sure this makes it into the podcast is as an example of what happens when you're trying to change a system as a whole. But we're running out of time, so what I want to do here is I want to start with a quick closeout. So, Jack, I'm going to give you about 15 seconds. I'm holding it tight to give me a closing statement, Jack. So come on in, my friend.
Yeah, well, do away with money making money. That's got to be taxed at an equal or higher rate. And I say you tax the any income over $1 billion at a 50% rate. That would be very reasonable. And
okay, good. I'm
that's
stop
what
right
I say.
There,
okay.
Jack. You're a good man, and thank you for listening all of the time, my dear friend. Okay, give me a quick closer, John.
Again, Roberto, you should go back to a 2-hour, a 1-hour in and off. But it's true. But the one thing is. You know, this, I've seen it and about, you know, trickle down and then, you know, you'll get the scraps, you know. That's the kind of thinking. It's like, you know, that really trickle people down is. It's like, oh, yeah, should I be thankful for getting all the scraps? You know what I mean? So why
I hear
you,
my brother.
Adjust the tax code properly, and I won't even have to think about getting the scraps of life from you.
Thank you, my brother, as usual, and keep on listening, calling in. Okay, Bruce, give me your closer.
Okay. Excuse me, Berta. What I was thinking of is the tax code and how unfair it is and how wages is taxed so much more than any other income that's being produced. And it's taxed like three times. You get your wages, then you pay your payroll taxes, then there's income taxes, and then once you get it, there's sales taxes, and then there's user taxes. There are all these different taxes on the same amount of money that you made under wages. And if you'll remember some time back, they wanted to do away with corporate taxes because it was double taxation. Double taxation
right.
is everywhere. So,
but let me just say one thing. I want to bring it up since you mentioned that double taxation, Bruce. Corporations want to be considered people. They want to be considered people legally. Let them act like people and pay their taxes as well. I got to go to Greg and then close out, Bruce. So you have a quick one other thing that you need to say?
Well, you're talking about corporations being people, and that corporations are a privilege. And it was set
exactly.
up so that people could develop capital. And the stockholders, the workers, and the greater good of the country was the consideration. It's no longer that. I'll close
thank
out.
You very much, Bruce, and thank you for listening. Please keep calling. Greg Rusek, give me your closer.
Another excellent show, Egberto. I'll second John's motion to have you extend this at least another 30 minutes. That could be interesting, maybe a compromise there. I would also I'd also want to just add very quickly that I've formed a couple of corporations myself. I've attempted to start new businesses. You know, the tax code was never even a consideration. Those folks who want to take their shot at capitalism can do so, but only if the system is set up to make it possible and to make it fair. And the lack of fairness that exists right now in the tax code is rigged against us and for those with extreme and extraordinary amounts of wealth. And less than until those folks who continue to vote against their own economic interests wake up to that reality, we're going to continue to have this kind of divide and this kind of debate. And it's really not even a debate because there are not two sets of facts here. There's only really one.
Right.
And all anybody needs to do is look at those facts and look at the reality and look at history, and they'll realize that what's not happening today is that the wealthy are not contributing their fair share back to society, and are empowering them to do that. Thanks, Egberto.
Thank you very much, Greg. Folks, this has been one other great show, great callers. But then again, we have great callers here. Please do remember we have three other shows. There is on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. there is I Take Liberty with My Coffee with Bobby Rodrigo. On Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, we have Lunch with Loudon with Gene Loudon. That's Thursdays at 3 p.m. And, of course, since Saturdays, you're here with me at 1 p.m. Eastern, Politics Done Right with Egberto Willis. Look, folks, I really cherish the time that you spend. I cherish the time that you spend listening. Please share this show with others. Please share the podcast with others. Look, if you notice, we had an interesting call that, you know, with somebody that actually said a few obnoxious things against women. For that, I apologize, but I am not removing that from the podcast because I want folks to see what I believe was likely a call placed by the framers or folks that are paid to do certain things within the internet when certain things are particularly happening. That is what I believe. I got the person's number. I will attempt to verify specifically if that's what it was based on where it's coming from. I've seen this happen before. But this has been Politics Done Right. My name is Egberto Willis. I do appreciate your time. Please remember to go to coffeepartyusa.com, become a member, and help us help America change. Help us make a better America. Have a wonderful day. And thank you so kindly.